Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. God bless you, and I am looking forward to spending this time with you today. Obviously, we're going to talk about what happened in Little Rock, Arkansas yesterday, and seek the wisdom of God for the next step in our journey as sons and daughters of the Most High God walking on this earth, to know what our next move is. And so I first of all want to say good morning to everybody that's out there joining the broadcast. We welcome you. We'll be broadcasting on four different platforms today. We'll be broadcasting on Omega Radio Network. So if you're driving in your vehicle and you want to just listen to the broadcast, you could go to omegaradio.org. We are also broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio, another just listening device. You can go to Blog Talk Radio, all lowercase, one word, blogtalkradio.com/XMAN777. That's XMAN777. And the really cool thing about Blog Talk Radio is that not only can you listen, but if you get inspired during the broadcast and you want to share an epiphany, a thought, an understanding, a revelation, bring information, whatever it is, all you need to do is press one on your dial pad. So for the listening devices only, again, omegaradio.org, omegaradio.org, and blogtalkradio.com/XMAN777. And then for viewing, those of you who are on Facebook, you know it's Omega Radio Network. So if you want to listen and watch our broadcast, it is Omega Radio Network on Facebook, Omega Radio Network. There's a lot of Omega radios out there, so you want to definitely put in the Omega Radio Network. And then, of course, you want to go to YouTube. That's another platform on YouTube. And we learned something yesterday, and I'm going to ask you to do something. If you haven't done it already, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and that is New Wine Ministry TV. New Wine Ministry TV, because you need at least 1,000 subscribers before you could use your telephone or your phone device to do live videos. Yesterday in Little Rock, we were able on the way down there and while we were there to film it on Facebook live, but we were not able to go to YouTube on the phone device. And I think at one point we had over 1,400 people that were viewing on YouTube, but we need subscribers. And so, as Vinny Pots and Pans used to say, subscribe and like on the YouTube channel. We would really appreciate that. So once we have over 1,000 subscribers, we could be traveling anywhere and we could make sure we do live videos on YouTube as well as Facebook. So these are the ways you could listen in, you could tune in, you could call in, and we're excited about what happened yesterday. We're going to talk just a little bit about it. And then a little bit later in the broadcast, I've got a dear friend and brother that's going to be calling into the program, is going to share his heart with what God is doing. And this gentleman, by the way, has his nose to the grindstone, quite frankly, and his the pedal to the metal, if you will, as far as researching and seeking out what's really happening behind the scenes, and happens to have a military background and has a military networking across the nation where information is shared. And thank God we're going to have some of that information shared with us today. It's a glorious day. It is an amazing time to be alive on planet Earth. So let me just tell you what happened yesterday. Yesterday, I'd say 35 people in 8 different vehicles gathered together from Northwest Arkansas, and we made our 3-hour journey down to Little Rock to the state capitol. And we had a great time going down. It was a very peaceful journey. It was a joyful journey. And we showed up at the state capitol. We had plenty of time, about an hour left over as far as time was concerned, to get out of our vehicles. We all parked in the same spot. Everything worked out perfect. We walked a little bit. We made it to the state capitol. We showed up around the firefighters monument. And that was a really cool spot with seats going all the way up. We could have stayed there, but we decided to walk around the building, and we found ourselves at the very front steps of the state capitol building. It was very quiet. There was basically nobody around and about, but it was a beautiful scene, and we have video and picture on that on Facebook. You can go check that out. And so we gathered together, and people went in through the tunnel into the Capitol building, and it was beautiful on the inside, and kids were kind of running around, and people were just waiting, singing some songs, and we had been preparing for what we were going to do, what we've been saying we were going to do for the last several weeks. And so the time came, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, where we gathered together, and we bowed our knees, and people prayed quietly, silently, and then we opened up in prayer a little bit, and we prayed, and we asked God to forgive us for our sins personally, for the sins of the church collectively, for allowing this stuff to go on in our nation without any opposition to it whatsoever, very little, if anything. And we had to take responsibility because it was on our watch that a lot of these things are happening without contest. And so we did that. We prayed, and at the right moment, we all stood on our feet and we gave that declaration, God save President Donald J. Trump. Now, here's what happened, okay? And I've listened to the video several times, and it just does not pick up what really happened. And I'm going to tell you, because I'm not exaggerating, I'm not making things up. And, you know, I had my phone, and I was the one doing the video, and so I was too close. My voice was too close. And yet the 35 other people around, what happened is that when we got off our knees and we said, and we made our declaration, our proclamation, and this is the only way to really describe this, and it is the absolute truth, is we started saying hallelujah and amen, and we started rejoicing, and a sound came into the sound or the shout of 35 people. And I heard it, even as I was kind of, yeah, hallelujah, and kind of thing, I heard this crystal clear, crisp, ringing sound. It was so pure, and the only way to describe it is that the fabric of heaven opened up. And the sound of heaven came down and overwhelmed the sound of the people. And it seemed to have been a sound on earth made contact with a sound from heaven. And when I heard it, I was really inwardly taken by the sound. And I let out a rip-roaring shout myself because I just felt like there were millions of people there. I was really overwhelmed, and we were done. Now, here's what happened with that sound. We were being viewed by people in the Capitol building. We're the only people there, 35 at the steps, gorgeous day, 55 degrees, 56 degrees. And here we are, we're praying, bended knee. And as we're shouting and that sound is going on, and you're hearing this fabric of heaven and the voice of a million angels. I don't know what it was, but it was a sound. And all of a sudden, this woman came walking out of the state Capitol building. Her name is Charlene Fite. She is the House of Representatives, the 80th District down near Fort Smith. She's in another place. I forget the name of her district right now, but she's right across the river from Fort Smith, and I will remember it in a moment. And Charlene came walking down. She was observing us on the steps, and then she walked into our midst, and she said, I just wanted to know what was going on here. Nobody knew who she was. She had a name tag, Charlene Fife. And so we said, hello, Charlene, welcome. And she said, well, I just wanted to know what you guys were doing. And then I heard your songs because we began to sing after the shout. And she said, now I heard the songs. I know what you're doing. And so I spoke and said, we're here to inaugurate President Trump to be the president. And she kind of nodded her head. And she said, so this is a prayer rally. I said, yeah, kind of a prayer and proclamation rally. And all the people are surrounding her now. And she says, would you please pray for us to have wisdom? And she seemed a bit concerned, like this was heavy on her heart. We really need wisdom right now. And so immediately the body of Christ began to pray. They laid hands on her, praying over Charlene, prophesying, decreeing into her life. And this is all caught on video. You could go to the Facebook video, Omega Radio Network, and see this all happening. And so we're walking away. This is all gone. She thanked God for it. She went her way. We went our way. We're now going back to our cars. We're all going to go get a bite to eat. We made a decision. There were 8 vehicles all together and carrying 5 people in one point and 4 in others and all that stuff. So we're walking back, and I'm thinking to myself as we're walking back to our cars, I can't believe what just happened. I was overwhelmed, and I'm telling Brother Roy and Julie, I'm saying, did you hear that? And Roy was going, yeah, I heard it. And his son, Gabriel, who's pretty well, he's pretty quiet, he had this, all of a sudden his eyes lit up and he had this smile. He said, that was amplified. I said, oh, you heard it, Gabriel? This young man. He said, yeah, I heard it. And other people heard it as well. And then something happened, and it wasn't about the numbers. It wasn't about the quantity of people. It was just not about the 35 people that were there. God honored what we did. And we are a very small group that just joined the other masses of people that were in Valdosta, Georgia, that were in Pennsylvania, that were in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago, that will be in Washington, D.C. this Saturday. And so in Arizona, all the rallies, all the gatherings, all the people, well, we participated in a very small level. And we had some friends call us from Missouri. They went to the state capitol. Very few people were there. But they went and they did the same thing. Then some pastors had been contacting us, telling us that they were going to their knees. Other people were in their houses. And I don't know what happened in the spiritual realm yesterday, but I do know that every single person that took the 3-hour journey down to Little Rock, they were not disappointed. They were not in any way thinking that was a wasted trip. There was something that God did at that moment in that shout, that sound, and the hearing of the sound of heaven, to hear the crisp, clear. You see, we've been shouting a lot in our church lately. We're just a band of warriors, a special tribe. We had prophetic words going down. And so we're used to, you know, getting that roar going, right? Not a snoring church, but a roaring church. But when we sounded off in front of the Capitol, something else happened. So I expect we're going to see a shift. Something is going to shift. And I know that this Saturday, I am in contemplation and prayer right now with Pastor Ken and some others that we may be heading back down to Washington, D.C., or up to Washington, D.C., actually. So we want to do everything we can while there's light. And I kind of sense today, and I just thank God for the men and women that were with us yesterday. We had such a pleasant time. It was really a good time. Afterwards, we discovered the original Dave's Hamburgers. And I learned a lesson from this. I want you to hear this, okay? So the guys get in front of us. They take the lead. They know where they're going, exit 125 in Conway. We're going to the original Dave's Hamburgers. So we all make our plan. We show up at the original Dave's Hamburgers. There were two tables. I think one table in the very corner was a husband and wife, and then one gentleman was sitting down. The place was empty. We all walked in. They said, "Would you please put your masks on?" So everybody cooperated, went out, took their mask, put it on. We went in there, and all of a sudden, this hamburger place, which I had heard about for a very long time because I played tennis down there in state, and the guys would always talk about Dave's Hamburgers, but I never went. So now we're in there, and the place is packed, and these young men and women handled 30. I think there were about 28 to 30 people that wound up going, and we're ordering these incredible healthy hamburgers. They had singles, they had doubles. Me and my friend were thinking, man, if we get a single, we were thinking McDonald's. So we got doubles, but they weren't McDonald's. They were huge and they were delicious. They were Angus beef, right? So, but what I thought about, here were these young people, middle of the afternoon on a Monday, empty store, and all of a sudden, an entire group of people come in and order their food. They handle it. And a massive financial blessing happened to that restaurant. And there were God bless yous and thank yous and your welcomes. And these polite young people who had been doing nothing all of a sudden are overwhelmed by a massive group of people. And I thought, that's a word for somebody that has been faithful. They were there, and yet it appeared like failure, no success. I mean, nothing's happening. Nobody's here. And yet they maintained their preparatory stance, waiting for each customer. And all of a sudden, 30 people come walking through the door, and they're knocking it out. And everybody enjoyed their food. They were dumping French fries on the table. They even gave a chocolate shake for nothing to Pastor V. I didn't drink the whole thing, but man, it was such a compliment. Anyways, we all got in our vehicles. We made it back home last night, and we were a little tired. You know, it's good driving. And here we are this morning, and we can't stop now. We probably feel at New Wine Ministries, we did our part. We did what God put in our heart to do. And we thank God for every individual from Southern California all the way to New York City that participated at that time in Bended Knee. I believe God did something. Now, how that's going to show up, what it's going to look like, the results of what we did, and then the results that are coming this Saturday in Washington, D.C. It appears that the same MAGA Million March that we went to on November 14th, the same people, but there's another group and other groups, the Jericho March, they're all coming together. Washington, D.C. is going to be a very busy place in just a few days. And so we're praying about whether or not we should go. We would love to go. We want to participate. God bless them. And so we're part of something. We're part of this one voice, this one movement, and it's designed for one thing: declare President Donald J. Trump to be the President of the United States on January 20th, to be inaugurated, to be appointed, ordained, to be the President. That's it. And there's enough evidence being exposed and coming out. So there's a working together. There's a coming together. It's not perfect, but there's a coming together of so many people. And the Christian community really needed to step up to bring a sanctification to what we heard a couple of weeks ago and at the rally, because we heard things that were not clean from both sides. And we just knew that the church needed to step up. And I'm trusting that we stood in the gap for the church. And the people that went out yesterday or in their bedrooms yesterday, wherever you were, where you prayed, you were standing in the gap for an entire Christian nation. And we're praying for the awakening. And some other amazing things happened. Not only did the state representative, Charlene Feit, come down and ask for prayer, but we also received a phone call from the owner of KNEO radio station in Neosho, Missouri. I'm on there every Saturday morning for 1 hour from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Well, Mark called Taylor and he said, "You're not going to believe what just happened." I said, "What's happening?" And I'm eating my hamburger at that time in my shake. I'm drinking a little bit. And so I said, "What happened?" He said, "I just got through interviewing a gentleman that was involved in the government. He would not tell me what he did in the government, but he's works for the government." Now, this is the owner of a radio station. He's on 24/7 KNEO 91.7 FM, and it goes all over Missouri. And he said, this gentleman contacted me, so I interviewed him. And maybe a Navy SEAL might be, or a special ops person in the government, or one of those guys, they call them spooks. Who knows? I don't know what they call them, but they're not normally into wishy-washy, charismatic, praying in tongues, all that stuff. But they love God. They're very conservative. They love God. They're about their business. And this man in the interview on radio, and Mark's calling me about it just at this time, didn't even know we were where we were. Or he did know. Mark knew where we were. He actually told people in Missouri about it. And he says, "You're not this guy, come on," and we're talking. And he said that he had a dream and a vision a few weeks ago. And he said he didn't like it because he's not into that. He doesn't get that. But he had this dream about people everywhere around state capitals. And they were all rallying together. Now, Mark knew what we were doing, but the guy he was interviewing knew nothing about it. And so he's listening to him tell about this dream and vision and about all these people rallying around state capitals. I don't think it's finished yet. I think there may be some more opportunity to go back into a prayer rally for the church during the times that we are in right now. I don't think it's done. I think we're going to have another opportunity. We've done what God said. Be faithful in a little, and I'll give you much, right? So, but this man in the interview is talking, this military guy or this guy that works for D.C., and he has this vision. So he sees all these people at the Capitol. So something comes into his heart that it was a message that he needed to go to the Capitol in Pennsylvania. So because he works in D.C., but he lives around Joplin, Missouri, which is 70 miles from here right now. We're in the northwest corner of Arkansas. 70 miles away is Joplin. So he lives in Joplin. He works in D.C. He's all around that place. But he was led to go to Pennsylvania, not knowing what was going on there. And he felt his job was to just walk around the Capitol, walk around the Capitol. So he did. But when he showed up, he said there were people everywhere that God had told independently to do the same exact thing. And so I thought that was very interesting as well. Now, all right, so I've got my brother Don is on the line. That's what happened yesterday. It was a marvelous time. It was a valuable time. It was meaningful. And we're going to see the results as the days go by. And look at my daughters out there, Danielle, LOLU in VM, NBC. Oh, no. I don't know what that means, Danielle. What are you saying to me? You got to speak my language. All right. Our generation. All right. So before I go any further, get ready. I'm going to bring in my brother from Indiana. Brother Don Huddle is going to join me right now on the air, and we're going to talk a little bit about what he's doing, what's going on in his neck of the woods, what he is finding out for us. And so without further ado, let me say good morning to Brother Don. Don, God bless you, sir. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. How are you today?
Absolutely fine on this fine overcast day in Indiana.
Yeah, I hate overcast days. We have the blue skies today and the sunshine. Well, praise the Lord.
I know you do. I was looking at your forecast.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking good. 57 today.
Oh, man.
So, Don, again, thanks for joining me on the air. What's going on in your neck of the woods? What are you hearing? There's a lot of intel out there. What's happening?
Well, I'll be blunt. I don't think President Trump's going anywhere. And I think this is going to be a very interesting month for the country. The month of December. I think that it's going to get... It's going to be a month of chaos, but good chaos, you know, the kind of chaos that needs to happen. And I think of our country has been, there was an attempted coup that came very close to succeeding. But I think that with these, I have to be blunt, I don't see how anybody could be a Democrat. I really don't. I mean... You could start with 90 million murders of babies. And to me, that's the openers right there. And now this gigantic theft that occurred of our election. Guess it wasn't President Trump's election. This was our election. And these evil people in Washington, D.C. and around the country masquerading as a political party called Democrats, they stole our election. But I think what they did was pretty obvious to me is they walked into a trap. And I think they had, they were so bold after basically burning the country for 8 or 9 months that they thought they could get away with it. I think they always planned on getting away with it because they have to get Mr. Trump out of office right now. Now, I say that to say that simply they have to finish their work. They have to finish overthrowing the country, and then they have to move for immediate disarmament and subjugation of the population, is which communists do. And then the bloodletting starts. And the first ones that the communists kill are the ones who help them overthrow their government, because communists are very smart in that respect, because they know that if they rebel against their form of government, they'll definitely rebel against communism. So then you have the mass purging occurring first with the people who help the communists. So this didn't happen because the attempted coup didn't work. Now, it's not obvious yet it didn't work, but it is obvious that these people walked into a trap. And I think there's been a lot of documentation, a lot of finding out who these people are. And I believe, and don't get me wrong now, I am not, I don't believe that Donald Trump is a messiah. But I do believe that he is God's tool of judgment. And I think that's going to be demonstrated here very quickly. I believe that he knows he is too. So when that happens, what's going to happen to the United States in the course of that? I predict a lot of anarchy. I predict a lot of violence. And I think that the biggest enemies of the United States are waiting outside the country, because they knew that was going to happen anyway. And they're waiting for that period of, I'd say, approximately 5 or 6 months, that once it's rocking real good and people are getting hungry and people are tired of the violence and all that, then you have huge armies are going to come in here as masquerading as United Nations peacekeepers. And I believe that is going to be an invasion of the United States, mainly spearheaded by China. I believe that the people that are in office right now, the Clintons, the Obamas that were in office, the Clintons, the Obamas, the Bushes, all of that crew They sold our country to China. They sold our secrets. They sold our technologies. And they sold our land out west. They promised our land out west to them. And they plan, the Chinese plan on coming in and taking over the United States. And they felt like it was already delivered to them. All they had to do is take ownership. Interestingly enough, the one country that is most in favor of the United States being disarmed, guess what country that is? That's China.
Of course.
Because they want to take ownership. And they don't want an armed population opposing them. Japan had the same problem. That's why they didn't invade us after they hit us at Pearl in the Second World War. That's what I see occurring.
What an image. I mean, what a time to see. And so what we're saying is that the election of Donald J. Trump does not bring peace throughout the United States. It accelerates the third wave of war, where we will actually see beyond just anarchy, civil disobedience, we will see a civil war, a somewhat of a revolution within the own nation, and then the external warheads coming in, which could fulfill Bible prophecy in was Revelation chapter 9, that what we would call World War III. And so we're not seeing this moment as a peaceful moment, but an accelerated into the violence that the Bible, that the scriptures actually declare will be in the last days. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. You know, I remember there was during the Biden and Trump debate, you know, once in a while you see something occur between people where you go, wow, there it is right there. And you have to watch a while, but you'll see it happen. And there was a moment between President Trump and Biden, where President Trump looked at Biden towards the end of that debate, and he said one statement to him, and then he said it again. And he's looking right at him, and when he said it, Mr. Biden dropped his head. And he told Mr. Biden, "You're the reason I ran." In other words, you're the reason the people, what you represent is the reason that at the age of 72 years old, I stepped up and decided I was going to go all in to save the United States from people like you. That's exactly, I believe that Mr. Trump, President Trump, is a patriot. I believe he loves the United States, and I believe he is God's man called not to bring peace, because there's not going to be any peace, but he came to bring vengeance. He's the Lord's tool to bring judgment to the United States. Based on the United States in reference to what it is degenerating into, starting in the pulpit, the watered-down gospel, the effeminate-type pastors that are in behind the pulpit right now, they tickle the people's ears. They don't tell them the truth. I go to a church, a big church up here in Indiana. I've gone there for 4 years, and I not one time ever heard them condemn the tremendous sins of society, which is murder of the unborn or homosexuality. The two greatest sins that our people, our Americans, are committing horrendously on a daily basis and even feeding to our children now, are those two sins. And it was never condemned openly from the pulpit. And I know why. It's because the government approves of those sins, and my church is 501c3. They're tax-exempt based on 501c3 charitable organization, and they're muzzled. And even though Donald Trump has announced it in the last 2 years, well, forget that. We're not going to, I'm going to keep you from being gone after because of you speaking the truth, and that's against government policy. Even so, it's like people right now that are wearing masks that don't really have to wear masks. But the church doesn't need to be muzzled now. Come on out and speak against these things that are destroying your society and your body. And they won't. because they're used to being muzzled. It's like people drive around in a car with a face blanket on, with a face mask on. They don't need to do that, but they got used to it. And that's what's happened to the church. That's what's happened to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think part of what's going to happen here is the body of Christ is going to be is going to suffer for this in order to be purified, in mm-hmm. order for them to come back to their first love, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So
now,
that,
Don.
Those are the types of judgment. It'll come first with the church, I believe.
Yes, got you. The thing that's catching me right now is that 4 years ago, you know, you are obviously, absolutely, and have been for a long time, a watchman. You watch, and you have a tremendous background, and it's just you're a watchman. 4 years ago, when Donald J. Trump, approximately 4 years ago, when he was elected, and everybody was going crazy, they were thanking God. You were standing as a very cautious watchman, saying, "I'm not sure about this man. We're going to wait. We're going to look at the fruit before we get on the bandwagon." And you did that. And now to hear you sounding off as all in, that this is God's man. He is selected. He does love the nation. He is a patriot. That is pretty profound to me personally, that you have come to that conclusion. And yet with that understanding, it's not, okay, now everything's okay. Let's go back to work, business as usual, because we know that we have crossed a point of no return within our nation. So here you have a man fighting for the nation, but in order to do that, half the nation is opposing him. And so, again, this scenario is very real, but I thought that to be very interesting. You've come to that conclusion in your thinking after these years. Praise God.
Well, I come from a military police background, and I wasn't I wasn't a quiet policeman. I mean, I worked in a pretty tough environment, and a lot of really bad things happened because of that, because I had to do what I was put there to do. And so you could never say that a policeman is a person that, you know, fixes tires and helps old ladies across the street and things like that. But that's a little bit of what he does, but he does other things too, the Bible says he brings a sword. And so I think I understand that Donald Trump is bringing a sword. He's even declared himself as a wartime president. Well, I know. And there's going to be a war in the United States. There's one right now. And people are going to have to pick sides and decide if they're going to be for the Lord or if they're going to be for the devil. And for a long time, many years in this country, people have been dancing with the devil and thinking it was going to be okay. And consequently, look at the carnage that we have. We have 90 million murdered babies, the most innocent of blood. And we've shed that. And when I say that we, I say collectively as a nation, we've not only shed it, we've promoted it around the world and even financed it. Well, you have to ask yourself a question, well, what does God think about that? What does he think? And that is a question that should always have been asked. But everyone thought, well, you know what? It's more important what I think as opposed to what God thinks. It's more important that I do what I want to do. I got into an argument not long ago with a person about unborn babies, and their response was, well, those are just fetuses. And I said, wait a minute. I was a fetus, and I think if I'm talking to you, you were a fetus too. And no one murdered you. The only difference is you were a wanted fetus. So because you're unwanted, you're allowed to be destroyed, to be killed in horrendous fashions. And even your body parts sold, parties unknown. Well, you got to ask yourself a question. Who would want to buy baby body parts? Well, look at some of the things that are in this new vaccines that are coming out. Enough said. Look at what's in the COVID-19 vaccine. Look at the elements that are in there. It's shocking. So you have all this basic Satanism going on and murder and the shedding of innocent blood, which is what God says that he hates the most. So you know what he's thinking, and you know if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you know what he's going to do based on his historic actions in the Bible. And I think we're in a point now where God is going to punish. He's bringing judgment against those who would partake and shed innocent. The Bible says that their blood will be shed in like manner. So you're going to see that type of thing occurring in the United States. You're seeing the precursors of it right now, but now it's going to really ramp up. And like I said, December is going to be a very interesting time. And I think mentally and emotionally and spiritually, especially the Christian, he needs to prepare himself for what he's going to experience. Unless, of course, he believes he's going to be raptured. I'm all for that. I'm ready to go right now. But if the rapture doesn't occur, I'm ready for that too, you know.
Right.
And I really don't see a rapture based on Scripture. I think we've discussed that. But if there is, I'm all good for that. But you need to prepare for the trouble that you see in front of you that's coming down the road. You're liable to get bowled right over before any rapture ever occurs.
Mm-hmm.
You should consider that. If you have a home, if you have family, if you have children, you could consider what's going to happen to your community and to you and to your home and to your way of life before the rapture occurs. At least do that. And I think if you do that, you'll know that you need to prepare in every way.
Yeah, someone said that the collapse of the United States of America does not necessitate, if there were a pre-tribulational rapture, the collapse of America does not necessitate that to be the timing. So what you just described, what I saw in my mind's eye while you were talking, is that, and it goes back to what Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. And what we need to be aware of, for as aggressive as we all are on the behalf of Donald J. Trump, in supporting patriotism, the love of our country, an independent sovereign nation. Well, the exact opposite mind is to the same exact degree. I mean, it's split right in half that they want open borders, globalism. They hate Donald Trump. So what we look at, Don, if you take that the nation becomes that way, you have half the nation fighting with Donald Trump. You have the other half of the nation fighting with the left, fighting for the left. And so you're walking through these major cities and you have divided people. And eventually when the conflict begins, all of a sudden, you know, what store do I get to go to? Where do I buy my groceries? Do I dare go to the grocery store where the predominant left is over there? You know, how do I live in this cautious moment? And eventually you could begin to see the separation of states, that one side of the country
yep.
will be, you know. And so speak into that just a little bit, because that's where it obviously would go conclusively with the conversation we're having right now.
Yeah, the United States is going to balkanize. It's going to, and probably along state borders. Matter of fact, that's already happened. And I've seen, I'm right next to Illinois, and boy, there's a night and day difference between Illinois and Indiana in every way you can think of. And people from Illinois are moving into Indiana as fast as they can. Basically
yeah.
as a refuge, you know. So I think the United States is going to balkanize. Donald Trump, there's only one savior, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Donald Trump is a tool of the Lord. And the Lord will use him as the Lord has destined him to be used. But he's not a savior. You have to be careful with that. There's only one Savior. And I got to tell you, in all honesty, the main reason I voted for Donald Trump is because of who his enemies are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what they believe. And so that's why I cast my vote for him. Because anything's better than them. Let's face it, we're all in a position where we have to wait and see. the preparation for what's coming, it will start and end with us. Donald Trump's not going to run in here and save us from starvation or taking a dubious vaccine. Matter of fact, he's even behind that. He's going to do what he was destined to do. And I only see him destined at this point as to bring judgment over the United States for their collective national sins. He's the man to do that. And when he survives this, which I certainly believe he will, he's going to be greatly followed. There's going to be a lot of people that are just going to jump in there because they're going to say, well, he's got another 4 years to do, so we lost. And look what he's doing to his enemies. I mean, all of a sudden, they're disappearing, you know. So in reference to that, that's basically what's going to happen. Now, what Donald Trump does with his new 4 years or 12 years, whatever, when that happens, you're going to see a different Donald Trump. You're not going to see a guy that's just sitting back and letting people nibble at him and try to destroy him. I think they walked into his trap. Mm. I think they walked into a big trap. I think he intends on getting rid of the enemies of the United States internally. But the question is, what will he be after he does that? I'm all for that. But yeah. Like I said, I know that he's not a savior. He's a tool. That's what I believe.
All right, so let me ask you this question, because it's something we've talked about in times past, and it just appears to be a little bit closer to reality than then. There was a series out. It was called Jericho, and I recommend everybody to watch it. It's on Netflix, if you like Netflix, or you can get a videos of Jericho. And Jericho was done in 2006, and it was all about 21 different nuclear weapons that were... I'll let that calm down. So 21 nuclear weapons that were detonated in the United States. One of them was in D.C., and it took out the entire government. And then they had the continuity of government, the COG, the backup plan. We've not only seen that in a television series, which was very prophetic, if you ask me, and it trained people in many ways how to prepare, what to expect in visual form. But we also know that on the History Channel that the Homeland Security put together with all their experts the reality of a nuclear bomb going off in Washington, D.C., and what would follow in the United States of America. And, of course, people have had visions and dreams, and God has revealed things to people of this becoming a reality. That, too, is another issue. And, Don, with the potential of nuclear weapons going off in this nation, which seems to be an outdated idea, but I'm not confident that that's true. What we're talking about right now, what you're saying, what I'm saying, what we're hearing is exactly what the Romanian prophet Dimitri Dudeman said way back in the 1980s when he said that there would be conflict in this country. And he named it Babylon. He said Los Angeles, Babylon, Florida, Babylon. And he just went through the nation. It's Babylon, Babylon, Babylon. And the time would come that a racial war would break out, i.e. George Floyd stirred and sparked the powder keg of anarchy that we saw going all the way back to April. And he said it would start out and it would be a kind of a black-white thing, and there would be a lot of internal violence, and the government would be preoccupied with trying to deal with the internal government. And at that time, foreign nations would come and they would bring in their territory, their power to quell the violence. And in Jericho, that same scenario happened. You had towns fighting each other. So they're trying to keep their food and their supplies. And then the new government comes in and brings separation between these internal conflicts. And that's kind of moving towards biblical prophecy about a one world government after the quelling of the nation, or the culling of the nation, I should say, and population control through this war and other means. Are we kind of on the same page with that?
Yeah. If you want to see what their plan is and what they're accomplishing, go to the internet and look up something called Report from Iron Mountain. Report from Iron Mountain. It was made around 63, 64. It's a UN plan to take over and dismember the United States. And exactly what that plan is exactly what they've been accomplishing. They're well along to that plan right now. And I've studied that plan, and I watch it all the time, and it unfolds more and more and more along those lines. So I believe that this is planned by Satan to conquer the world, to prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ, to war against Jesus when he returns. I believe that's all part of that plan. And there's no doubt that the people in Washington, D.C. in power right now are hardcore Satanists. There's no doubt about that. They've been uncovered as far as that. It's almost like they're proud of it. The only mystery to that is why they've never been dealt with. Well, I think we're about ready to see that. But
Don, if like I may just interject. Let me just interject one thought about what you just said. These Luciferians, it's very clear, Albert Pike, The Morals and Dogmas, that Lucifer is the genuine light bearer. And most of, even while we were down in Little Rock yesterday, they had the pine cone from the pineal gland, And that's all kind of occultic mystery religion. And the Masonic lodges in our nation and in Washington, D.C., we were just marching through the streets. Huge Masonic presence in much of what is in power today. So that's what I believe when you say the Luciferians, the devil worshipers, the Masonic lodges do give their allegiance to Lucifer, according to Albert Pike's book, who was a 33rd degree Mason. But that's another story. But Masonry is all over this country.
And you know what? Masonry, if you get up to the 33 degree level, it's nothing but Satanism. That they slow fry you into Satanism. I'm a little bit familiar with that. And I know there's a lot of talk that Donald Trump is a Mason. I tried to research that, but I can't get a clear answer on that. But yes, it's all Satanism, every bit of it.
Yeah. All right, so go back to what you were saying about this, the unfolding that we're witnessing before our very eyes.
Well, like I said, the I believe the United States is going to balkanize in civil war. Nothing's going to stop it. And it's been orchestrated. I estimate probably that type of fighting, especially the way that the Americans, the American citizens have prepared themselves now for war with weapons and ammunition. They're doing that because they're Americans, and they have that Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment is their Alamo. That's what they can run to, and the thing is, with the Second Amendment, that's the last bastion of control to take over usurpers that have attempted to use our freedoms to overcome our constitutional form of government, our republic. The Second Amendment was given where the citizenry could rise up and take out the people that are usurping their government and then establish new controls. That's a safeguard. It's not meant for hunting or fishing or anything like that. It's meant simply to take military arms and oppose those that are trying to destroy their form of government. And like I said, it's a safeguard. It's like a fire extinguisher to put out that fire. And our forefathers were very intelligent in reference to that. They knew it was going to happen eventually. And that's why they wanted to be a citizen and be armed. The militia concept has kept many countries from being overcome, i.e. Sweden during the Second World War. Hitler went around Sweden. Sweden remained neutral because Sweden had a militia concept. Every man of fighting age, all the way up to the age, I think, of 60, 65, they were given a rifle and 60 rounds of ammunition, and they were told to take that rifle home. And every month they had to fire on a government range, and then they would get another 60 rounds. And they were to keep that rifle in working order so that in an instant, Sweden could turn itself into a million-man army. to oppose any invader. And that's why Hitler looked at Sweden and says, uh-uh, we got to go around this guy. And he did. And that's the same reason Japan never invaded us in the Second World War after they hit Pearl. They wanted to. But then they, I believe that the admiral that of that strike force that, that hit us at Pearl, Admiral Yamato, he stated, if we can't take the United States on a land invasion, which was interesting for Japan because that's the way they did things. We can't take the United States because behind every tree is a rifle. And they said, we can't do it. We'll get chewed to pieces. What's interesting enough is why we never took Japan in the final invasion. The citizenry was going to fight us with everything they had. So that's why we dropped nuclear weapons on them, to make them capitulate. And they did. They couldn't handle that.
So going back
now,
to...
we're safe from that.
Yeah, so going back to the Iron Mountain Report, then the idea is if we can't beat the United States on a frontal basis, let's divide the nation, bring in political power, bring in immorality, bring in unrighteousness, you know, pull down laws that were once restraining evil, promote laws that produce evil, get the people divided. They're sleeping, they're into prosperity, they're into wealth. And so just do these things, get them to sleep. Well, this is the wake-up call, isn't it, Don? This is the time where the Spirit of God is revealing, uncovering, and the things that we're saying are now happening right before our very eyes. So we're not just making things up. These things are in play, and it's time to wake up, particularly the body of Christ, because they have such spiritual influence in these practical physical things, correct?
Is there any other way to look at it?
No.
I wish there was.
Right.
But there isn't.
Mm-mm.
We've entered a storm. We're well into the storm. We got a long way to go. There's not going to really be an eye in this storm. We're going to have to go through it. And you can't deny that you're in the storm when the waves are crashing over the bow of the ship. You know, and there's no going back. So, I mean, you're in it. We're all in it, and we're going to have to do basically what the Lord would have us to do. You have to listen, and you have to obey. If you're not willing to do that, at the very least, your survivability and your disobedience is going to be a question in reference to what God wants you to do. He wants you to face it, and one good thing about this is, there's a lot of people that would have never come to the Lord. Oh, they're coming now. They're running in because they're going, we need hope. We need faith. And before we believed in our government and in our medical establishment and our, you know, our entertainment, and it's all turned on us. You know, what do we believe in now? We got to believe in something because all of the idols that we believed in, they've all fallen now. They were false idols. So this is good in reference to that. There's a lot of people that have heard the gospel that have never responded to it because they never thought it was necessary to do that. They had all the power that they needed. Well, now they find out they're powerless about what's happening to them. So they can always go back and say, maybe this thing about Jesus Christ is real. Maybe this is what I need because nothing else is working. That's going to give us a tremendous harvest in the body of Christ. We need leaders and we need teachers to fill in those spots, to lead the way. We need leaders right now in the Christian church and in the body of Christ to gather these people together, gather them in and get them together and disciple them and show them the truth about Jesus Christ. Not a watered-down truth, but a real truth, the Bible. Show them what the Word of God says. Show them the power behind that. Lead them to that. That's the challenge of the body of Christ right now, more than anything, and perhaps a blessing what we're going to go through. I think it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Don, I think I told you the story. You know, I've been operating in full-time ministry as a pastor for 28 years. 27 years ago, I was in San Diego, California. I was out doing something. I forget what it was, but I met a gentleman who invited me to a meeting on a Monday morning. And Brother Mike, Michael V, and I, we went to this little town in Vista somewhere, or Escondido, I forget. It was in Escondido. Walked into an apartment, and there were about 8 or 10 grown men there. And what we stepped into was what was known at that time as the Patriot Movement. And these guys were talking about the overthrow of the government. They were talking about the crimes that the government had been committing. And they were, you know, this one guy with a beard had eyes. He was a lawyer. They were police officers. There were all kinds of people there. And they were buying land over here and buying land over there. And they were ready to do this. They had their own underground banking system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this Patriot, I'm stepping into this, not knowing any of this stuff. So we walk into it. And as they're handing me the information, they had guys that had went to jail. They were jailed by because they were taking a stand for something. And so they were very angry. And yet they were saying that they were Christians. And, you know, the explicitives were coming out of their mouths and they were swearing a little bit. And they wanted me to basically commit our ministry, our church, to them so that they could train our church how to shoot weapons, how to fire weapons. And they were doing this all over the country. And so we were being recruited. And I stopped in the middle of this. And I said to these men, I said, what you're doing, I understand you're, you know, what's behind what you're doing. But I said, listen to you. You have murder in your heart. You have hate. You're swearing as men of God, as Christian men. And I could see the real bitterness in them. And I said, if you guys go forward and do what you're thinking of doing under these conditions, you're going to have a lot of blood on your hands. And they wound up throwing me out of the house. And I remember driving home and, you know, zigzagging off freeways. And I thought, man, these guys, you know, I don't know what I just stepped into. But what they were doing was not the right spirit. And yet I listen to someone like you. I'm watching you. And you have the same understanding. There needs to be a training of people in the body of Christ. There needs to be a discipline. There needs to be a sanctification. There needs to be an understanding of what we're going to be dealing with, because a lot of people are going to be running around like chickens without any heads, without any order whatsoever, and just kind of everybody doing what they feel like doing. That's not healthy, is it? I mean, there needs to be a discipline, a training, an understanding, so that the person's spirit, soul, and body, their emotional life, their thought life, is not just running away with them. And that is something that people like yourself have the a potential to teach and to impart and to train. This is what you're going to face. I mean, you've been to Vietnam. You've been to war. You've seen these things happen. You know what kind of responses come from within. So this needs to be explored. This needs to be looked at. So, and I know a lot of us believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord. We're following him. I totally agree. But at the same time, there needs to be the integration of preparation to be able to face the things that are coming, because the things that are coming are not going to be pleasant. And a lot of people psychologically and emotionally are not going to be able to deal with what they're going to see and hear. So how important is it right now, Don, to have trained bodies of believers that have learned about this type of activity?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, a lot of people that talk about shooting folks, they don't even know what that is. There's right. A whole thing around that. There's the beginning, there's the actual act, and then there's the aftermath. And the aftermath is probably going to get you. And you're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life. People don't understand that. They think that it's like something they see on television, and then they walk away or change the channel or go to bed. It's not like that. It's completely different than that. What you see on television is a lie. You can't see it. You can't smell it. You can't hear it. And you can't live with it. So people that talk about war and, you know, they're all angry and all that, you got to really understand that most of the time when they're talking, they don't know what they're talking about. And they'll find out what that is. And when they like it, the first thing they're going to say is, I wished I never would have wanted this. But it's too late then. You got it. So there's a time for war. You know, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus armed his disciples before they entered the garden. He told them to sell everything and buy swords. Now, there's a lot of debate about that, but there's no question he definitely armed them. And they ended up with two swords, and he said, that's enough. But when they went into the garden and the high priest showed up to seize Jesus, Peter jumped out and used his weapon right away. And Jesus said, put down your sword because you're living by the sword now. There was a time to use that, but it's not now. In other words, you have to know when to use the sword and when not to use the sword. And I'm sure that had a lot to do with Peter's denial, because he goes, well, wait a minute, you give me a sword and then I use it, and now you're telling me I was wrong, and then you pick up the guy's ear and slap it back on his head and heal him. He's your enemy. Yeah, come on, what's going on here? What was simply happening is a time for war. It is a time to use a sword and a time not to use a sword. Should you have the sword? Definitely. Just the fact you have a sword will keep you out of war, because people will go, well, I'm going to get from this guy what I want to give to him, and I don't want to do that. And it's like, it's a check. And that helped us. I talked about Japan want to invade us. Well, wait a minute, we can't do that, because look at these guys. They're going to mow us down. They never had to fire a shot, not on American soil. Sweden, same thing. Not one German troop ever stepped into Swedish soil other than to shake hands and maybe exchange food or something like that, but they never went in there as an act of war. I saw German soldiers shaking hands with Swedish soldiers because they knew they were never going to fight. They're just men. And that's the concept of the use of force. You use force, you use deadly weapons when it's time to use them. Should you prepare to use them? Yes. Should you train with them? Yes. Because number one, it's a psychological deterrent. And number two, when it's time to do war, you can do war, and you could do war well. And is there a time for war? Yeah, even the Bible says there's a time for war, and there's a time for peace. There's a time for everything. So when someone comes to your family, they want to spoil your home, seize your assets, seize your women, destroy your life through force and violence and the use of arms, whatever, yes, that's the time to use your weapons and to use them well. Before that, no. And there's no sense in bowing up about it and getting all excited about it, because that's not what it's all about. And there's no reason to be angry. Just be prepared. If you're prepared, you have a tendency not to be angry or fearful. And, you know, most of this anger is based on fear anyway. They're afraid of what's going to happen. Okay, well, prepare yourself for what can happen, and you'll be fine. You got car insurance in case you have an accident, which you're probably never going to have, but it's there. You're paying for it. That's the same thing with firearms. Just have it, know how to use it, be ready, and if it ever happens, it can be applied. No reason to get all worked up and upset and all that, unless, of course, you plan on being a victim. But I never met a victim yet that, after they became a victim, were against the use of arms. Because they always say, you know what? Smith and Wesson made all men equal, as far as that's concerned. And if I would have had a gun, I wouldn't have got robbed or raped or beaten half to death, and I wouldn't have to see my loved ones. That happened to them either, and my home when they got invaded, and all this and that. After that, they're no longer pacifists along those lines, and they believe in arms because they go, yeah, I just would have had a gun. I just would have had a gun. So,
you know, my wife is going
to
say,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Patricia Joy is going to say, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. She's going to say, the first weapon you draw in a conflict is the name of Jesus Christ. The backup weapon is the gun, right, Don?
Well, that's your sword, right? That's the sword that Jesus gave you.
That's right.
In
the word of God.
In case it needed to be used.
Okay.
In case it needed to be used. But definitely, I tell you what, most policemen or military, even, they do a lot more talking than they do shooting. Because they learn how to talk and how to deal with people. But the whole time they're dealing with a very violent individual, whatever, that individual is looking to see if that policeman has a gun. If he can actually use that type of force against him if necessary. So definitely. I know when I deal with really violent people, the first thing I do is I plead the blood of Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
Most of the time, that works. I dealt with a guy last week. He had 5 demons in him. He was in the hospital, and he was one of these Black Lives Matter guys, and they used a lot of witchcraft. And he just decided he's just going to walk out of the hospital after his family brought him in there to try to get him some kind of help because he was threatening to rape his sister and everything else. And he was wild, I got to tell you. And I had to stop him. And he's a lot taller, a lot bigger than me. And he tried to grab my partner's pistol. And I told him, I said, "You're not going anywhere." And he looks at me and he starts whipping out these African gods on me, calling them by name and all that. And he says, and I says, "Okay." And he whipped out one, and he names another one, and he's getting more and more fierce and all that. I says, "I got a god." And he goes, "Who?" I said, "The blood of Jesus." He went wild. I mean, he whipped them all out, and he's jumping up and down and screaming, and they're all manifesting. I says, "Okay, well, I've had enough of this." So I grabbed him, and then my partner grabbed him, and he was strong. He was like steel. And we threw him down in the bed, and we, instead of using restraints, we tried to cuff him to the bed. And I got to tell you, he's one of the strongest guys I ever dealt with. And he didn't have a lot of muscle, but he had a lot of demonic
power. Energy. Yeah, demonic energy.
Yeah, he did. And there's no doubt about it. I mean, I was telling my partner, it was like trying to cuff guys, a guy made out of steel. And as soon as we got him cuffed, he calmed down. Of course, then they came over my shoulder with a Geodon shot, and he was out in about 30 seconds. But the point is, demonic power is powerful. But when I put the blood of Jesus on him,
yeah,
he is like I threw hot water on him. And I had no fear at all of any of those demon gods if he was pulling up. But he'd use those to intimidate people. Mm-hmm. He'd use his fierceness to intimidate people. And all that's very real. And
yeah,
he had the strength to match it. There's no doubt about that. And could I have dealt with that a little different? Well, based on the circumstances, I got to tell you, if he would have got my partner's gun, then I would have had to use my gun.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the gun is just a tool. It's like a shovel. Or it's like next time you cut meat on a cutting board, you're not going to cut that meat unless you got a butcher knife that's cutting it. Otherwise, you know, it's simply a tool, but it's a very necessary tool. And it's used to put down evil. And it's to be used wisely and sparingly. But it's very necessary. So I would be the last one to ever say not to use it or to use, just to call on the name of Jesus. I got to tell you, sometimes Jesus wants you to use that gun because that individual's time, as far as the Lord, is over.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember they asked Thomas Jefferson, he carried a gun, and they says, why do you carry a gun if you have God's going to protect you and nothing's going to happen till you, through your time? And he says, "Well, I carry it for Indians in case it's their time," which I thought was pretty good when I read it. So
that's brilliant. Brilliant.
Is there some truth to that? Yeah, I think there's some truth to that. You know, I really do. So,
wow. All right. Amen. Amen, Brother Don. I'll tell you what a great conversation. What a great conversation. We've got some calls coming in, and I think there's some questions that want to be asked. So can you stay just for about 5 or 10 more minutes?
Yes, sir.
All right, so let me take a call coming in right now from area code 760, and this is probably going to be some really good questions. Is this Sarah? Good morning to you. God bless you.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Doing great. Are you hearing our conversation today?
I am. I'm so glad things went well for you guys yesterday. That's awesome. I kind of peeked in at your post. It looks like you guys had a good time. So that's awesome.
Thank you. We really did. So listening to this conversation, you must have some questions for Don or some thoughts.
Yeah, I had a question for you. I'm trying to locate the verse. I'm sure you will know. But speaking to like guns and protecting yourself, because I go back and forth. But I know there's a verse. I'm trying to locate it, but it's referring to the time of Jacob's trouble. And it's saying, you know, if by sword you should go, then go. If by plunder, you know, if you're taken by plunder, then by plunder you should go. If by fire, then by fire. Like, basically, like, if that's your, like, if that's how you go, then I'm trying to locate it. And I know, of course, once I get off the call, I'll, of course, find it. But I wanted to know what your thoughts were on that, as far as, you know, like, what God's will is for us during that time versus, like, what we maybe want for ourselves. I don't know. I'm just kind of go back and forth between, and same with my husband. My husband's like a little bit more on the shy side as far as having a firearm, just because we have a little one. But of course I'm all for, like, you know, using my Second Amendment right. But I wanted to know what your thoughts were, as far as that's concerned, because I know that you're kind of talking about that. But like you said, you know, Jesus is definitely like our protector first and foremost. And, you know, putting on that, you know, the armor of God, essentially.
Mm-hmm. All right. Great question. Don, you want to speak into that?
Well, the spiritual armor of God. And then there's the physical armor of God too, God's weapons, God's armaments. You'll see reference to that in the Bible about God's armament. David and Goliath, David used God's armament there. He used a slingshot, and the Lord delivered that rock. But that was definitely a weapon. It would normally, before that, drive off wolves and, you know, maybe other men. But that was the modern day firearm of that time, the slingshot, and it killed. But it killed at the direction of the Lord. Now, I'll be honest with you. I remember one time I had a guy invade my home, just pick my home out at random and decide he was going to come barreling in there about 11 o'clock at night. And he had a gun. He didn't display it. He had it in his coat. And he forced his way into my home. And I seen him coming in, and I had a Glock 10 millimeter. I had it down to my side, all charged, ready to go. When he saw that Glock come, I told him, stop. And when I said stop, I was coming up, and I was getting ready to shoot him. And when he saw that Glock, he did an Air Jordan right back through that door, fell outside. And he starts begging me not to kill him. And I didn't. We just had a talk, and I knew that he would never come back to my home. But here's the thing. if he wouldn't have saw that gun and it surprised him, he would have come in there and maybe killed me, pillaged my home. My wife was in town. So it's a tool, and it's a very effective tool. If you have children, what I always did with my guns is I put them up high, and I never let my children ever know where they were at, because children don't usually go up high looking for weapons.
Right.
And they knew, you know, the children knew I was a policeman. But if you have a weapon, learn how to use it. Once you, I call it demystifying it. Once you know how to use a gun, you've taken it apart, you see how it works, you see what actually makes it work, then you realize this is a tool. And it's a tool to ward off evil, to protect my home. Then you're
right.
Fine with it. But that's what you need to do first. And like I say, if you have children, a lot of people won't load it. Now, what I would do with mine is I would load the mag, but I would never chamber it. and I would put up high. And most children don't have the strength to chamber a weapon, especially if they don't know how it works and if they can't find it. I never had a problem when I did that. So if I
yeah.
needed it quickly, I could grab it in the home. And I knew how to use it. So.
I was going to say, yeah, so then if you are protecting yourself, do you think, you know, because God says thou shalt not kill, do you think that that's a forgivable sin?
Well, see, people, what God was referring to is thou shalt not murder. Self-defense is a Christian concept. It founded our country. It caused our country to survive against invaders and everything else. That argument, if you're to say that, well, you can't kill, that means our armies and our police forces are evil.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that the citizen who defends themselves against a rapist or an individual trying to spoil him and his family and his home, that individual is evil. Well, that's not reasonable. Because that weapon, can the weapon be evil? If you look at it realistically. Now, God doesn't want you to murder an individual. That individual that tried to invade my home, he's laying on the ground begging me not to kill him. He knew I had every right. And my brother, he always yells at me, you should have killed that guy. I said, no, uh-uh. No, because that would have been murder. I understand the difference between self-defense, the heat of the battle, and murder. And I can honestly say to this day, I've never murdered anyone. Never. I would draw the line right there. And I think that's the difference completely.
Okay.
Guns are not evil. If weapons are evil, then Jesus would have never armed his disciples when they entered the Garden of Gethsemane. That sword was a firearm of the day. That was as good as it got. And Jesus gave those swords to his disciples because he thought mm-hmm. they might have to fight for him. And I want to tell you why. When Jesus entered the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew what it was laying before him. He went away about, 100 yards away from his disciples, and he prayed. What was that prayer? He said, if there's any other way that
mm-hmm.
we can do this, don't make me take the sin of the entire world on me. Is there any other way to redeem mankind? And he said, and Jesus prayed. He prayed at great drops of blood. He sweated as hard as anyone ever could have prayed. And at the end of the prayer, God never said, yeah, okay, I got another way here. Let's do it this other way because you're really praying enough. No, He told Jesus, Jesus says, nevertheless, thy will be done. And then Jesus
yeah.
knew that he had to be taken. Well, before
yeah.
that, there was a debate because he thought, well, maybe God will say there's another way and I can fight my way out of this with my
yeah.
disciples using arms. So if
yeah.
you look at the dynamic there, Jesus wanted his disciples armed in case that other option was given to him by the Lord.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense.
And
no, I appreciate you clarifying that.
Okay.
The
Bible says
Pastor,
many times they tried to take Jesus. Many times
yeah.
they tried to take Jesus.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Pastor V, I had a question for you. I don't know
okay.
if you've seen this, but I wanted to know what your thoughts were. So, I guess on Fox News on Friday, there was a segment about like UFOs, and then now like yesterday there's a bunch of like articles from like the Daily Wire and the New York Post about let's see, let me go back to it. It says, former head of Israel's space division, aliens are real, Trump was on the verge of confirming. And basically, like, just talking about how, you know, Israel and the U.S. are going to talk, you know, announce that UFOs are real, but they didn't want to you know, frighten people. I guess my question is, do you think that they're like, what's the word? Like, not programming us, but like training, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like everything is so outlandish right now. Like, I feel like I'm in like a bad episode of The Twilight Zone. As much as I love The Twilight Zone, I love a good kitschy 1950s, 60s, like, you know, show, but I just feel like things just get more and more crazy. And I know that I believe that aliens are demonic and that they're like, you know, I've heard people say fallen angels, but I definitely think that they're, you know, obviously not of God, but I wanted to know what your thoughts were, because now I'm seeing it everywhere, all over the news, you know, oh, you know, monolith sighting, UFO sighting. Like, I just kind of wanted to know what your thoughts were, especially because for years and years, the government's denied anything like that. But now they're saying that they're, you know, they're real. So it just came to my mind in Revelation where it says, like, lying signs and wonders, you know, from, like, the heavens and what have you. And so I kind of wanted to know what your take is on that.
All right. So I will take a poke at that in just a moment. And I will attempt to do that. Don, I just want to, because our time is going down, and it's a great question, by the way, Sarah. We will get into that. Maybe devote an entire broadcast by bringing different people into that, and we could discuss it. And I'll give you my point of view in just a moment. Don, anything else on your heart you would like to share with our listeners before we go? We're like 3 minutes away from the broadcast. Great question, Sarah. God bless you. Stay tight, and we'll be sharing with you in just a moment here. Don, anything else?
What you see is going to happen here. Don't be afraid. Don't have any fear of it. It's something that it's things that have to occur, and it's a lot bigger than we are. And so don't be afraid. Just do what God tells you to do. Honor His word and just go forward. And you'll see it could be a great time of harvest for the body of Christ. I see it happening all the time now. People are asking a lot of questions than they've asked before. They're interested in Christians because Christians have a hope. And the ordinary world right now, they're having less and less hope about, you know, the future. Well, a Christian's hope is in the eternal. He's already started eternity. He's safe in the hands of the Lord. And one other thing, the Lord is a lot closer to you than what you realize. And the more you walk with the Lord, the more you're going to realize, wow, He's right here. But it takes that walk to experience. That's all I got to say there, Pastor.
Amen. Brother Don, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Great conversation. Thank you for sharing out of your experience working in Vietnam, working as a police officer, the ATF, all the different things you've done, the things you've seen. You've shared some stories here before that were just absolutely amazing. I want to thank you. God bless you. And we'll see you soon.
Yes, sir.
All right. Shalom. All right. Brother Don Huddle talking to us all the way from Indiana. And truly, the background experience there is some of the best stuff. And really, I've known Don for years. Appreciate his input and his insight to what's happening as a watchman on the broadcast. Now, getting to the alien thing, getting to spaceships and Martians and creatures from other planets. I never say in my heart, I don't believe it because I've not seen it. Well, I've never seen Jesus, but I've had experiences with the kingdom of heaven and with God. There's no doubt about it. What do I say biblically about foreign, universal deities out there? I basically lean in the direction that I believe there are fallen angels. I do believe in demonic spirit. I believe in deception is everywhere. Are there actual UFOs? Are these things very, very real? To me, I would have to put my faith in that because I've never experienced that. Now, my faith in the presentation of the gospel, you know, when somebody told me about Jesus, I already had that in my heart because the law of God is written in everyone's heart. And so it's something connected. If somebody came up to me before Christ and said, hey, there's UFOs and aliens, that wasn't downloaded in my spirit for that. So I, it would have been a leap of faith for me to try to move in that direction and try to make that happen and maybe looking for things like that. I don't know. Right now, I'm going to be innocent concerning what is evil. I'm going to be wise concerning what is good. I'm going to keep my focus on the simplicity of Jesus Christ. I'm looking through the biblical lens at the signs of the times. I'm seeing Bible prophecy fulfilled. And if that includes, you know, robots, spaceships, aliens, Martians from other planets, it may. It may. Right now, I know that we are battling against demonic spirit, evil, wicked, demonic spirit. And that's why we thank God for the deliverance ministry and learning how to fight and use the weapons of our war and everything else we just talked about. We're all good. I think it was a brilliant conversation. I'm not going to focus on a lot of those things. There are so many different conversations that people have brought into my life that I could have dived into, but I always felt like that's not where I'm going. I'm going to stay in the scriptures. I'm going to read the word of God. Some things don't matter. Some things do matter. I want to minister the things that really matter and the things that are important right now, because our eternal souls are in the balance. And the most important thing in my life as a minister of the gospel, truly, and I want it to even become more, is the salvation of a soul. I want to present to people the gospel. And I know theories are out there of every sort, and I've seen people get involved in things, and, you know, maybe they're mature enough to do it, but I want to make sure that we are sanctified, that we are separated unto God, that we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, producing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I have a whole different aim as a minister of the gospel, to bring up and mature people, make them ready for the Lord. There are so many things out there that are demonic, deceptive. I thank God at times that he blocked us from a lot of that stuff. And so for me personally at this time, not an issue. I'm not going there. I'm not going to explore it. Others do. And may God bless them in their following. And prayerfully, they won't be led off into anything too weird. So Twilight Zone, weirded out on a really bad day on Twilight Zone. I want to stay in the Jesus zone. I want to stay in the light zone. I want to stay there. That's for me. It's not to say that I'm right. It's where I'm at right now. Personally, I don't dive into those things. I have a lot of friends that do. We talk about so many different things, from flat earth to round earth to universal things, conversations of fallen angels, Nephilim. And here's what I'll leave you with. For me, what God taught me, the wisdom that God gave me, is if there is another side of the coin, if somebody presents an argument that is outrageously amazing, but if you could flip the coin and there is another potential, I never conclude it to be truth. Never. Jesus Christ, there is no other side of the coin. Death, burial, resurrection, there is no other side of the coin. The promises of God, no other side of the coin, period. There's both sides say the same exact thing. But if I get into these other doctrines, even with the pre-trib rapture, if there were two sides of the coin, well, we couldn't conclude truth. I haven't found the other side of the coin. I found that there is no such thing. And so I conclude that the pre-trib rapture doctrine is false until somebody could present another side. They've written books, but nothing conclusive. It's ideas trying to fit things together. So I have to put my energy in the right place, my thinking in the right place. And for example, the Nephilim, they'd say that's fallen angels. Well, there's another side to the story. And people battle and wrestle with those different sides, but somebody else has another side. Nephil is the word fall, and it talks about the godly seed that came down the mountain. It's called the Book of Adam. There are all kinds of conversations. So I could dive in and try to take a side. To me, that's not important. What's important is that we finish our race. We walk. And there are people that say, well, I believe totally that angels have fallen and there are Nephilim everywhere and there's a whole cosmic thing going on. I mean, ministries are built around that. Well, praise God. I love my brothers and sisters. And if they're into deeper stuff that I'm not mature enough to handle, praise God. Just be patient with me. But for me right now, we're doing what we're doing. So that's the best answer I could possibly give. And I just want to bring a blessing to all of you that are out there today. I'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, with Daniel Seckham. I'm not so sure. I may be on a little road trip. We'll talk And hopefully we'll see you tomorrow. And I hope that was good enough information for today. I absolutely loved talking with my brother, Don Huddle. And may God bless and may his love fill your heart. We're in the season. It's December 8th. Mamma mia. This is so beautiful. What a beautiful time to be alive in Jesus Christ. Take your refuge. I love what Don just said. Don't be afraid of anything. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. This is Pastor Vince. Right now on omegaradio.org, there's a 24-hour, seven-day-a-week radio station that we built. It's been nonstop for 3 years now. You could go there, Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It'll be constant, nonstop stream. Right now, there's Deliverance, the roundtable discussion. Patricia Joy Xavier, my beloved wife and beautiful wife, wrote the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. She has a roundtable discussion. They're talking about some incredible things right now. You may want to go there. Enjoy your day. Shalom and God bless.